Robin, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so first of all, personal mobility devices, or PMDs for short, things like Segways, electric skateboards and hoverboards that rely on battery power and motors to get us from A to B. People are aware they exist, but they don't often see them rolling down the street. Most of us not interested in purchasing Segways because we think they're going to look silly, or are there more factors stopping them from being distributed by the transport industry?
Well, there's two factors that underlying why we don't see them very much. Is it first is that they are actually, you cannot legally ride them on a New South Wales road or transport or footpath at the moment because they don't meet standards for cars or for cycles. So there is. And the second factor is actually related to that, is that we do tend to see them more as something for fun. We associate scooters, for example, with something that our children might ride or that they might use to get from A to B quickly if they don't want to walk. So we don't really think about them as a viable option for adults to get around.
Mm. Well, is it in the government's interest to accommodate for PMDs? And if so, how would they be able to do that?
Well, I think they are. It would be in the government's interest in the sense that they can be a form of sustainable transport. So there's this thing that transport people talk about as the first and last mile, which is about, well, if you want to go from your house to a train station or a light rail station in Sydney or from your light rail station to your work, that's a very relatively short distance, but for some people it's a distance that they use a car for. So if it's, say, less than 5 kilometres, most people don't want to walk 5 kilometres. But they would use their car. But if these are these in-between things. They could get you there relatively quickly for that first and last mile to connect you to transit. So there are possibility for those forms of sustainable transit, and that makes them attractive, I think, in our cities when we want to get people out of cars, we want to build neighbourhoods that are more connected. But there's a whole series of regulatory challenges. And it's not, PMDs are not unusual in being difficult to regulate, that with the safety on where do we put them, what are the safety issues for pedestrians, a whole series of things that the challenge is pretty big.
Mm. Well, it certainly is a lot more desirable to drive a long distance rather than walk several kilometres. I know I'd be fine with scooting if it was socially acceptable for me to ride a scooter as an adult, but as you said, they're aimed at children. The Tesla car has started gaining big traction in America. They're slowly rolling out in Australia. I saw my first one the other day. It was a very exciting time. Is this because Australia and its regulations aren't new for this kind of technology?
Electric cars are a little bit different like the Tesla in Australia in that they're not. The reason why they're so big in the US is that you can have, they're seen as a more sustainable form of transport. But given that our electricity system is still predominantly run on coal, it hasn't piqued the interest of people who want to have a sustainable car yet, because somehow you also need to then have sustainable power to power your car. But things like autonomous cars or driverless cars are a little bit more becoming more desirable in the US. There's lots of test trials going on, and, you know, people in the US have even developed a driverless racing car that will go around a racing track at speed. So there's lots of experiments going on to think about the technology of a driverless car, but we still need to know how we're going to put them on our roads.
Mm. Well, I mean, we had the disaster recently in America with the driverless car mishap that got, you know, global traction about the guy who got sucked under a truck in its driverless car because he wasn't paying attention. But are the public on board with the idea of autonomous driving, or do a lot of people have concerns about it?
Well, what the only research I know of is coming out of the US at the moment, and people are increasingly okay with the concept of a driverless car. There's some research that has done some experiments where it's had people crossing a pedestrian crossing with a driverless car coming, and they've just gone across, even though they can see that there's no drivers, they'll still sort of trust what's happening, and they will cross the road. So it's about do we trust the technology, and do we trust the systems in our cities? You know, is our Wi-Fi network good enough? Are our sensors, because driverless cars rely on sensors, are we confident enough in all that other infrastructure communications infrastructure, that they are going to work. So people are becoming more happy with the concept, but there's still quite a bit of way to go with it before they will completely trust it.
As far as legislation and legality of driverless cars on the roads, are there some road rules in place that mean that there does have to be a human driver?
At the moment, a driver is defined by being a human driver. So yes, at the moment, that really does need to be changed. There was a report done for the federal government that identified a plethora of regulations that needed to be changed before we had a driverless car, because what happens to insurance, for example? If you happen to be in the car but you're not in control of it, then who is responsible for an accident should it happen? Is it the manufacturer? Is it the driver? Is it the person that it happened to? So there's a whole series of insurance issues. There's privacy issues. If you are in a driverless car, there's lots of data being collected about where you're going, how fast you're going, what's going to happen to those data. Is someone who's, are we confident that they will maintain your privacy? So there's a whole series of, there's a very big challenge with driverless cars.
Mm. Well, that's all the things that nobody ever thought about, isn't it? I feel like a lot of people just look at it on a, base level. I can get in the car without actually having to drive it. It's a great idea. When it comes to responsibility, you mentioned there are some insurance issues. When it does come to responsibility, who does the onus fall on if there is some sort of incident?
At the moment, we don't know, because there are, all that's happening in Australia are trials of driverless cars at various places that have specific regulations in place. So it's a bit like the American example I talked about with the racing car on a test track, where there's not actually real people or real environment involved. So we actually don't know.
Mm. Okay. Well, Robin, thanks very much for joining me this morning to try and give some clarity to all of what we can expect to happen with our roads.
You're welcome.
Cheers.